Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know if you remember this, but there were some news channels that for such a long time, they would kind of have this voiceover or this kind of advertising campaign that would be something like, the voice you can trust, or a trusted voice in news. Maybe you still hear that a little bit, but that's a lot of what the news is trying to do, right? To get you to trust what they say. Isn't it becoming harder and harder to know what voices to trust in the world? And even just to think about it, you know, years ago, how many news channels were there? Well, how many channels were there, period? If you're old enough, you remember the TV set that you actually had to go up and change the channel. You didn't have a remote. I know there's generations now that have no idea what we're talking about, that you couldn't have to sit on your couch and could just change it. You actually had to go and you had to click a dial, and there were a few numbers. There was like 1 through 10, and then there was a couple on the lower one. But not every one of those channels even had every number had a channel. And you had just a couple local channels, and then maybe you had started to get more, and then we got cable. But before when you just had those few channels, there was only a few voices to listen to. And how did they share things with us? I think for the most part, it was, this is what happened, right? This is the facts of what is going on, and not so much a bias or a spin. And now we have dozens, if not hundreds, of news sources where they don't really share even news that much anymore, but it's all opinion. And there's this side that gives this bias and this side that gives this bias. Well, the truth is, we probably know that all of the news we listen to is biased on one way or the other. Some are open about it, some are not. So it's hard to understand who to trust. And are they sharing only part of the story, or are they sharing just some opinion about what is going on? There's so many more voices in the world. And you just think about, well, that TV that comes in. And I think about years ago, when I was growing up as a kid, what voices even came into the house, right? The TV, and you had one phone line coming into the house. You didn't have all the different cell phones. And the internet, even when it first came in, was just a dial-up and just one computer. And you could either be on the phone or the computer. And everyone knew what we were doing. Now, everyone has their own device and different voices coming in, and maybe social media voices. And all of these different voices, there's just so many voices to listen to. And we need a voice that we can trust. We're going to see in our text and our reading that God is that voice that we can trust. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the voice that we can trust. But the problem we have in the world is that there are just so many voices in the world. There's all these voices coming in, and I don't think we always understand how it's affecting us. And think about how much time you're spending listening to those voices. And it's not just the news. It's also the TV shows or movies that we watch. Oh, what are they trying to express? What are they trying to share and get you to believe or think or understand? And not just then media, but what other voices do we have in our life? Today's Mother's Day. Do you think that we have a lot of voices of people in our life telling us different things? Hopefully, you listen to your mother's voice. It's usually a good thing. And even one of the things that parents try to instill in their kids is that it's not so much of a parent can't force anyone to do anything, right? But they're trying to instill good thinking and good ways of looking at the world. And so maybe you aren't with your mom anymore. Maybe they're gone on to heaven, or they're not in the area, but their prayer is that those guidance, those good teachings that they gave you, and hopefully God's word is still a part that you hear of your mother's voice. There's all the voices in the world, good voices like the voices of parents, but then there's also the voices of others who maybe say negative things about us, get you to question different things, question things maybe about God or yourselves. And what's one of the most dangerous voices? One of the voices you hear the most? Yourself? And is your voice one that you can always trust? That's such an important thing to understand, that we hear our voice the most, and often what is our own voice doing? Often lying to you, trying to tell you to do something maybe selfish, or beating you down and saying, you're not good enough, you've made this mistake, no one loves you, all these different things, or trying to make yourself to be greater than you are. There's all these voices that we have to listen to, but we need to find the truth, a good voice to listen to, and this is what we find in Jesus' words in John chapter 10. This is actually the third part of John chapter 10 where Jesus is talking about the good shepherd. My wife and I were watching the Chosen, not the newest season on the theaters, but there's this beautiful scene where Jesus is sitting there watching the sheep and the shepherd. And the shepherd, Jesus kind of says, I've got sheep and shepherds on my mind. And then he goes on to share this message about how he is the good shepherd. The first part, he talks about how the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, how he cares and protects. But then he goes in and talks about how he is the gate, how in other sections of John, it talks about he is the way, the truth, and the life into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the good shepherd, the door into that pasture of living water, the green fields of heaven. After he talks about those things, then he's been teaching and preaching this, and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, everyone is starting to question him and not like his teachings, and they want to trap him. They want him to get something that they can take and then condemn him because he's been doing these miracles and getting this following. So here we see that the Jews were gathering around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So the Jewish people have this objection, and they're saying, tell us plainly if you're the Messiah. It's kind of an interesting thing because Jesus has told his disciples that he's the Messiah. They've confessed that he's the Messiah. He's saying the Son of Man must go up into Jerusalem to be killed, to suffer, be betrayed, and rise again. But often when he does the miracles and tells them that he is the Messiah, people confess that he's the Messiah, he also tells them, don't tell everyone this. So has Jesus plainly told the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, that he is the Messiah? In some ways, he hasn't verbally said it to them. Maybe some of them have overheard the teachings. But what he's saying here is that by his miracles, by his teachings, by everything that he's done, they should know it's true. But there's some hard-heartedness in them, and they just don't want to believe it. And so again, they're trying to catch him, trying to get him to say something that they can take to the courts and say he's blaspheming. So what in their lives, it was maybe their strict religion, their religious tradition, maybe it was their human thinking, because there were some issues that they had of thinking, could God become man? They struggled with the thought, so then they struggle with what Jesus says later, I and the Father are one. There's these different things that they were probably struggling with, but probably the hardness of heart was a huge one. They were the religious leaders, they had the power, and Jesus was getting a following. So they didn't want to believe. There were all these miracles, all the teachings that were pointing to that Jesus was the Savior, but they didn't want to. They didn't want to trust Jesus and his works. So we can condemn them, but we want to maybe look at our own lives and say, where do we do the same thing? The question to ask is, what do you find hard to trust about Jesus? What I mean by this is, there's all the promises that Jesus has. He says, my sheep listen to my voice, and they know me, right? We know Jesus and his works. We know what he's done. We know his promises. But are there things that we still struggle to believe to be true? I think one of them has to do with that voice in our head. And sometimes we might say it's that voice of the devil as well. That after you sin, or after you've done that sin over and over and over again, and you say, can God really forgive me? I've done this thing, or it's such a great thing that I've done. These people, they don't seem like they're forgiving me. And why should God forgive me? And so do we question and say, is my sin too great that Jesus can't forgive? Jesus promises that he forgives every one of our sins, but do we hold on to the guilt and the burden, and we worry that it's not good enough, that I have to make up for it, or I'm not worthy? Truth is, we aren't worthy, but God still loves us and forgives us. And so maybe in our hearts we don't trust that God can really forgive some of our sins. But he can. Or maybe it's the things that have happened in your life. God, as the good shepherd, he leads us forward and he says he's with us through all things. Do you notice in Psalm 23 that, yes, he anoints our head with oil, he gives us this great meal, but did you see where he also leads us? Says through the valley of the shadow of death. The new, I think, translation says through the darkest of valleys. If he's our good shepherd and we are his sheep, we're following with him through difficult and dark times. Those are going to come because of the brokenness of the world, the sinfulness. There is death, there's sadness, there's horrible things that happen. And what do? Is we look at that and say, God, where is your love? How can you let this happen? What is the good that you're bringing out of this? And so we start to question and say, are you really a good shepherd? But can we hold on to the promises? Can we know that our God is good and loving? We know that he is. But the things, the sins of our own heart, the sins and brokenness of the world, they want us to doubt him. They want us to fear and wonder if he can do what he can and that it keeps his promises. So Jesus comes to us and tells us, though, that we can trust him. Notice he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one." How can we know that He is trustworthy? How can we know that Jesus can be trusted? But He says that He gives us eternal life. That no one can snatch us out of His hands. That beautiful picture of a shepherd holding that baby sheep, the sheep that are so foolish, the sheep that are in the ditch, and they jump out and jump right back into the ditch. The sheep that wander off. Jesus says, no one can snatch you from His hand. And so what is the encouragement but to listen to the shepherd God who saves and protects? He's trustworthy. And so He says, my sheep listen to my voice. It's not that we can look at this and say there are those who are not His sheep and those who are His sheep. But the important thing is that the sheep listen to His voice. And why? Because He has laid down His life for us to give us eternal life. He saves us by His love and redemption. That He took on every one of our sins. When we doubt, when we're fearful, we can look to that beautiful cross and say, they were nailed to the cross. That all of our sins put Him there, but then He rose from the dead and took them away. Just as we read in Revelation, that our robes have been washed clean by the blood of Christ. So we don't have to fear. And He says He protects us, that He's with us. And so all of those voices, all of those enemies, He's guarding and protecting you. Keeping you safe in this world that is filled with so many attacks on your soul, on your heart, on your mind. Saying, I'm here. Come to me. But in that encouragement, to listen to Him more and more. I think about one of the books we read said that those voices, especially like the news, on a not busy day of news, do they just stop sharing news? And do they just tell like good stories about puppy dogs and cats and rainbows and things? No, but there's just still more news. There's still more attacks and getting you to fear and be afraid. And the social media things, that they're tricky, aren't they? They get you to want more, to not be satisfied, or push you to believe this or that. On your phone, there's the things that will tell you how much you use your phone, and even what things you watch and listen to. You ever take a look at that? The point of that is not to say, well, okay, you shouldn't be watching or be on your phone at all, but imagine putting that chart then next to how much time you spend listening to your shepherd. We spend so much time with other things, with TV, with all sorts of different voices. But the way we get this comfort and peace is spending time with our Savior, to listen to His voice, to hear that peace, to know that we are His sheep, that He's redeemed us, that He is here to save us and protect us. And the more we grow in that, the more we are in that, the more confident we can be. And the truth is that there will be the valleys of darkness. But when is there the time to prepare for those? Is before they come. To be knowing and being with your Lord, listening to your Savior, so that when those other voices, when the dark times come, you know that you're right next to your Lord and that He is there still speaking to you, still guiding you. And we see the beauty of it, that He and the Father are one. That our shepherd is our God, the one who lays down his life for us to love you and protect you, to think how amazing it is that your God loves you so much to call himself your shepherd, watching over, guiding. And so we listen to his voice because the world speaks with condemnation and law and fear, and it wants you to be anything else but at peace. But every time I read Psalm 23, and I think it's for you, every time you read Psalm 23 and know what the Good Shepherd means, it means peace. Peace and hope that your shepherd God saves you and protects you. So my prayer is you go forward knowing there's so many voices in this world, so many voices trying to get you to doubt and fear and worry, but your shepherd God is with you always. Listen to his voice, the voice of the gospel, the good news, that he saves and protects you and gives you eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.